Hello everyone and welcome to Press TV's coverage on the situation in Syria. My name is Hassan Tavakoli. Now, the unrest in Syria is going on for more than a year now. It has left thousands of people dead and many more wounded. The infrastructure of the country is facing dangerous levels and the fighting between the Syrian army and the armed groups is spreading to other cities as well. The opposition blames the government for the violence, but the government says the unrest is a result of foreign-backed terrorism. Well, now, let's put this into more perspective. I'm going to discuss the situation in Syria with our guests today. From Washington, I'm joined by Lawrence J. Korb, with the Center for American Progress. And from Madison, I'm joined by Kevin Barrett, author and Islamic studies expert. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. If we can start with you, Mr. Barrett, first of all. Why do you think Syria has come under such a fierce campaign by the West, Washington's Arab allies and Turkey?
Well, this is part of a destabilization campaign aimed at the Middle East. And I think there are two overall strategic reasons for this. One is that the U.S. empire is trying to consolidate its position worldwide as it's being eclipsed by the faster growing economies of the BRIC countries. And secondly, I think that the hardline Likudnik Zionists in Israel are hoping to redraw the map of the Middle East in a way that's more favorable to them while they have the chance, and they're using American military power to do it. And Zionists, I think, are hoping to break these countries up into smaller units that would never be able to pose any kind of strategic threat to Israel. And we've seen this happen with Sudan. We've seen it happen to a certain extent with Iraq. And we might see it happen in spades in Syria, because Syria is perhaps the most ripe candidate for this kind of destabilization. There are ethnic divisions, there are confessional divisions in Syria that can be exploited by the masters of empire in their divide and conquer strategy. And that's what they're doing, and it's a tragedy that the Muslims of Syria in particular, and the Christians as well, are falling for this, and in particular that the hardline Sunni Muslims, who are sometimes called Al-Qaeda, are many of them playing the game of the Zionist American empire. They've done this before. These are the same people who've run drugs for the CIA and harassed the Russians on paramilitary missions for the CIA. And today, some of these same people are back taking money and funding and direction from the U.S. and Zionist empire in this war in Syria. And it's a real tragedy. I think Muslims need to unite against this kind of imperial meddling and against this kind of Zionist destabilization of the Middle East.
All right, now, Mr. Korb in Washington, just how do you think the situation in Syria is evolving?
Well, what's happening, despite what my colleague from Wisconsin said, President Obama is under a lot of pressure from hard right people who work for President Bush to get involved militarily. We're not. Basically, I think we need to understand that what started in Syria was a result of what happened in Tunisia, Egypt, and it moved into Syria. The people decided that they no longer wanted to be ruled by a group of people who were not providing opportunities and benefits to all of society. And the real question is, what can we stop this violence before it reaches unprecedented proportions? The Arab League has offered Assad, the president of Syria, they've offered him a safe haven if he leaves. Turkey is providing help to the rebels. That is a Muslim country. The United States is not. Saudi Arabia is providing. That's another Muslim country. So this is not the West versus a Muslim country. This is basically an uprising led by the people there. And if the regime can't put it down in 17 months, they're not going to be successful. And I think they need to recognize that. Last week, four of the people very close to President Assad were killed, and obviously it had to be somebody in his own regime. We've had ambassadors defect, we've had generals defect, so the regime is crumbling, and I think it's time for the President Assad to leave and let the people in Syria decide their own destiny, as the people in Egypt are doing right now.
All right, Mr. Barrett, what do you have to say to this? Mr. Barrett, what do you have to say to Mr. Korb's comments? It seems we've lost Mr. Barrett. Okay, Mr. Korb, I mean, there have been growing calls for foreign intervention in Syria. I mean, the question is that what makes Syria different from Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, for instance, where democracy is non-existent?
Well, I think what's happened is this is not being led by the United States. The British, the UK, put together a resolution that was vetoed that said unless the violence stops, basically that we're put economic sanctions on, not military intervention. And what you've seen is the United Nations has sent observers in, Kofi Annan, who's not a tool of the West, and he has condemned the regime for what they're doing. The UN monitors were not allowed to go and see what was happening so we could get an objective view because the regime would not let that happen. The head of the Norwegian general, who's a UN general, condemned the regime for using heavy weapons against the people trying to take destiny into their own hands. So this is not led by the West. This is basically a country that has decided it no longer wants to be ruled by a group of people who are more worried about themselves than the rest of the people, just as they in Tunisia and in Egypt.
Well, the thing is that, Mr. Korb, I mean, many reports and facts on the ground show that the difference on the ground is in Syria is that the majority of the Syrian population support the Syrian government, whereas the opposition actually is in the minority.
I think in the beginning of this, a lot of the people were opposed to what was happening. But as it has gone on, you've got more and more people supporting the rebels. And if it's the case that they do support the regime, why not have an open election monitored by the international community to see? I noticed in the run-up to your program, you were talking about the Iranian government wanting to the UN Human Rights to take a look at what's happening in Burma. The Human Rights group looked at what's happening in Syria and voted 45-3 to condemn the Assad government. So basically, that would be the way out. If in fact they do have the support, let's have an open, free election that's monitored by the international community, and then we'll find out.
All right, now I'm hearing that we have Mr. Barrett back online now. Mr. Barrett, we lost you there, but the debate is going towards the fact that the opposition is trying to gain the upper hand in Syria. I mean, we have a referendum that was held in Syria and the reforms have been made there. Why has this gone unseen in Syria?
Well, I think that the big international media, the Western media in particular, is presenting only one side of the story here. And I would like to take issue with one thing the other guest said, which is that he's claiming that Turkey and Saudi Arabia are Muslim countries who are presumably not acting on behalf of any outside interests. And of course, that's complete nonsense. Turkey is a member of NATO and has been run by these hardline Operation Gladio NATO people forever who control Turkey partly through drug smuggling and criminality. And yes, Turkey does have a more democratic and Islamic government now than it did in the past. But the reason that it's taking NATO's side in Syria is not because the Muslims of Turkey want that. It's because NATO is leaning on Turkey. Likewise, Saudi Arabia is a puppet of the Zionist American Empire that props up the Western financial system by putting all of its oil money into the American dollar and in other ways helping to prop up the Western financial system. And so these actors are not acting on behalf of the global Muslim community. They're acting on behalf of the American Zionist Empire, which is ultimately controlled by eight big banking families. So let's be very clear about that. The plan to destabilize Syria is a lot bigger than just the fact that many of the Syrian people want reform, and I agree with them. Syria needs reform. Syria does need a kind of a compromise between the different factions, and it needs to change. But the trend towards a foreign-funded terrorist war on the government in Syria is a terribly destructive trend. The only possible outcome of this, as President Putin recently said, is eternal civil war in Syria. And this would be a horrifying prospect to anybody who cares about the outcome for the Syrian people. It might be a good prospect if you're somebody like Netanyahu, who wants Syria to be taken out of the equation, wants Syria to not have any kind of military strength or unity with which it could confront the stolen Golan Heights and demand rightful rights of the Palestinian people. So I think if the opposition in Syria had made the smart move and not accepted all of this military help from the outside and turned to terrorism, if instead they had bravely continued to demonstrate peacefully, and they were brutally suppressed a couple of times, but they should have kept with that high road, as did the people of Tunisia and Egypt. And when certain groups in Syria didn't and decided to join with this terrorist subversion on behalf of the Zionists and the Americans, this was a terrible, terrible mistake. And I hope right. that it can still be rectified.
And well, Mr. Barrett, I mean, we have the West, the Arab leaders in Turkey, obviously seeking a regime change in Syria. Why is there this obsession with getting rid of the Bashar Assad government? I mean, let me put forward a quote to you by Russia's President Vladimir Putin. He says that we fear that if the current government is toppled by non-constitutional means, mm-hmm. the opposition and the current government might simply swap places.
That's a good point. And then there will be civil war on into the future. It's a terrible situation. And you ask, why is there this dedication to destabilizing Syria and to pushing for regime change in Syria? And the answer is that these outside powers that are arming the armed gangs that are fighting against the Assad government in Syria are not interested in the democratic rights of the Syrian people. They're obviously not interested in the democratic rights of the people of the Arabian Peninsula either. Instead, what they're interested in is destabilizing Syria. It's a thorn in the side of Israel. And they're also interested in getting Syria out of the way of a prospective war on Iran, or at least military pressure on Iran. So it's a strategic move. It's certainly not any genuine concern with human rights and democracy.
Indeed. Well, now, Mr. Korb, I mean, talking about regime change, I mean, if these countries, the powers that be, the US and Turkey and their allies, I mean, they're seeking regime change in Syria. But the question is that why not seek regime change in other countries such as Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, where the population there are also rising up against the ruling dynasties there?
Well, again, nobody asked for this to happen. And, you know, the interesting thing is Turkey is not a tool of NATO. They would not support NATO's involvement in Libya. So this idea they're doing this because of the fact that, you know, NATO is pushing is absolutely not true. Turkey and Syria were close. In fact, the Israelis would probably prefer the fact that you didn't have these governments changed, because they had an accommodation. Turkey was actually brokering talks between the Assad government and Israel. As we know, Israel was getting along very well with the Mubarak government. I'm not quite sure whether they'll have the same relationship with Morsi. So this idea that somehow or another this is, you know, the West and Israel doing this, no, this is the Arab Spring. It has nothing to do with the West. And I think we need to recognize that. The West's concern is seeing these horrible things happening, just as back in Bosnia. Back in Bosnia in the mid-90s, when the United States didn't want to get involved there, the Muslim world said, well, if these were Jewish people or Christians, you would. So finally, we did get involved to save the Muslims. So it is not a West versus the Muslim. It's a group of people trying to get their own destiny. Now, I give no Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, if it had the same type of thing and the international community wanted to do something, I think I would support that. And in the same way here, why is the Arab League involved? I mean, they're not a tool of the West. And remember that the president of Tunisia was given refuge in another Arab country. Mubarak stepped down after he tried to crack down on the protesters, and his military turned against him. The question is, will Assad's military? They're beginning to. A lot of the generals are defecting, and it's really it's a matter of time.
Right. Well, actually, if I can correct you there, Mr. Corbyn, Mubarak didn't step down. Actually, he was toppled over by the people there in a span of 18 days. Anyway, the thing is that let's move on to Mr. Barrett. I mean, Mr. Barrett, the West says it's concerned, according to Mr. Corbyn, the West is concerned about Syria, but why isn't it concerned about Bahrain or Saudi Arabia?
Well, again, it's a strategic thing, and I don't really believe the other guest is completely convinced by his own rhetoric. I'm sure that he's gone to school long enough to learn that international strategic relations are governed by matters other than this sort of concern with democracy and human rights for the Syrian people that he professes. In fact, the regimes in the Gulf oil states are at least as oppressive and unrepresentative of their people as the Syrian government. And the West is far from trying to push for any kind of democratization in those countries, particularly Bahrain, which is the base of the U.S. Fifth Fleet, I believe. And there, it's the Khalifa regime is being propped up by the West in the face of a genuine, peaceful, popular uprising. Whereas over in Syria, we have what may have begun as a peaceful, popular uprising, quickly morphing into a terrorist war against the regime supported by outside players. And this is pretty outrageous. I mean, if here in the U.S. we had other countries funding terrorists attacking the U.S. government, that would be universally reviled. And likewise, I think that if outside powers were meddling in any other country, it would likewise be reviled. I'm not really sure where these masters of empire in places like Washington, D.C. Ever got the right to decide which nations can be destabilized by terrorism, by outside players, and that's okay, whereas other nations would never allow that to happen. And I think ultimately it's just a matter of power. It's might makes right. And that's what's really going on. And what I'm hearing from this other guest, really, I'm sorry to say it, it sounds like just rank, it's emitting the stench of rank hypocrisy, just like almost everything else we're hearing from the Western capitals these days.
All right. Well, despite what was said, unrest continues as we speak in Syria, and all one can do is hope for a peaceful solution to the unrest there. Anyway, I'd like to thank my guests there, Kevin Barrett, author and Islamic studies experts from Madison, and from Washington, Lawrence J. Corp with the Center for American Progress. I hope that was a good discussion there with our two guests. And of course, for more information on the unrest in Syria, you can always log on to our website, pressev.com. In about 3 minutes' time, I'll be back with the international headlines. Do stay tuned.